So a 1031 like kind exchange is a process where it's a tax deferment. It's not a tax abatement. And that's a very, very important distinction. And it encourages real estate development and commercial development by deferring those taxes.
The reason you hear doing this is because it's called a 1031 tax-free exchange. You hear the tax-free exchange is what it's called. And Rob's right, it's not tax-free. There's no such, so you're going to pay taxes. Eventually, if you die, they're going to collect the taxes. But what it does is it encourages an investor to say, okay, I can sell this property for $300,000. Instead of giving $100,000 of it to the government right now, I'm going to go ahead and reinvest the whole $300,000 in another property. Eventually, when something sells and you don't reinvest, you're going to pay your gains on the whole thing. So that's part of life. But what it does, and you can see how it encourages people to say, okay, I'm not going to just take this money and go poof. I'm going to reinvest it into another, usually more expensive. So you're stair-stepping up. And it keeps money flowing in the economy.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's incredibly important to the local economy as far as real estate development goes, because people that come in from, like, here in San Angelo, for example, they come in from Dallas and start doing some development here. They're not really using that the way people who do all their business in San Angelo are. And so it's important for developers in the local area to have that option available to them.
Absolutely. Well, this is across the board. Whether you're in Houston, San Angelo, Dallas, it doesn't matter. This is something that needs to stay available. You know, they're going to get their money. It's just
it's a deferment, not an abatement.
So that's exactly what it is. But if you're going to hear the word tax-free exchange all the time, that's what we'll hear. But it's a 1031.
The last thing I want to talk about from Washington, and then we can kind of start talking about some state issues that are coming up.
Absolutely.
Is open access to condominiums. We talked with Congressman Conaway about that. And you wouldn't think that there's like a whole lot of like market for condominiums in West Texas, like Lubbock, Midland, San Angelo.
We don't have a lot here.
But it's growing. Like in downtown Lubbock, for example, they're doing a total redevelopment of the downtown. They're starting to bring some condos in there. Same thing with the downtown in Midland around the convention center there. And one thing, even though it's not such a big thing here in West Texas, it's still important that we provide access and make it easier to get into these condos, because for a lot of people, not here but in other markets, that's the easiest way to get into their first house. And homeownership, we'll both agree, I think, is an important thing, and it's a good goal that we should do everything to make sure people can achieve it.
What do you know what the definition of a condominium is?
Tell me.
Airspace.
Airspace.
That's what it is. When you buy a condominium, you're basically buying the airspace. You don't own the walls, you don't own the floor, you don't own the ceiling.
Right.
You own the airspace inside the unit. So that's where you have. That's where you'll have a homeowner association. You'll have different things.
Sure.
Usually very low maintenance. You know, usually the association will take care of all the maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the fees are typically higher.
Sure.
But, you know, especially for a lot of people that don't want maintenance, you know, whether it's age or busy or whatever the reason they have, it's a perfect scenario for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some value there. And you, like you said, but a lot of the condominiums will be in the coast area,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you have timeshare and stuff like that.
Sure.
But it's a great option. And do we sit that much here in San Angelo? Not yet. Of course you will.
Mm-hmm. So, well, like I said, they're doing the redevelopment of downtown Midland and Lubbock, and they're actually popping up like fairly frequently there. So,
and you'll see it's a desirable, mm-hmm. especially, you know, in San Angelo, we're an aging community.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see when we have a lot of we have great hospitals here. You know, we have great retirement abilities. So, welcome back to real estate. Okay. We'll get back to real estate. Rob.
Yes, sir.
Speaking of water and rain and stuff, Lubbock's flat.
Very.
The pictures that you showed us, how does it flood like that on flat land?
Well, I think it's a combination of it being extra flat, there's no drainage, and it's been raining for like 3 weeks, so the ground's pretty saturated at this point. And, I mean, it's kind of like College Hills Boulevard down here in San Angelo. If it rains for more than like 15 minutes, it floods like immediately. So Lubbock's very, very flat, very, very dry. And like I said, it's been raining for 3 weeks, so the ground is pretty well saturated at this point.
So you see, probably a lot of those farmers are going, okay, we've had enough rain for a little while.
Well, you know, it's actually kind of funny you say that. I got two friends I'll tell you about. One has a backhoe service, and he said to me, you know, a little bit of rain's good, softens up the dirt, makes my job easier. But he said, it's been raining for 3 weeks, man. I haven't done a job in 3 weeks. I was like, well, that's kind of terrible, Tim. And I got another buddy, Kelly, who's a cotton farmer, and he's like, I love the rain, but at some point, I got certain parts of my field that are like in danger of drowning right now. I need it to dry out for a couple of days. So, I mean, you don't want to complain because you know how it is in West Texas. In a month, it's all going to dry up. The rain will stop, and we won't see it again until it snows. But
we don't have a whole lot of snow here, so we're good there.
Oh, no, but I keep forgetting. Yeah, I live in Lubbock, and we do get regular snow there.
So I'm good with that. I'm good with no snow because our driving abilities in San Angelo when it snows seem to diminish. And we see lots of wrecks, so we don't want a lot of snow here. It's not good. But we were listening to Drew Darby talk, the little stuff he said.
Yes, sir.
And I didn't realize that. He said that we were one of the only places in Texas that our lakes still aren't full.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And you can go up towards, you know, north of Amarillo, where they have some of the lakes up there that have been, you know, dry for 10 or 15 years, and they're still dry.
Thank you. I'll tell you, though. Of course, when I was a kid, which was a few semesters ago, but, you know, we'd ski in the canals. I mean, and now there's no water there either. So I don't know what it would take to actually. I know our watersheds have had a lot of good rain. You know, thank you for the moisture, but still enough to get them filled up. So,
well, I mean, like out at Lubbock, you have Buffalo Springs Lake, which is pretty close to town. But I mean, other than that, it's 45 minutes to Lake Allen Henry, and that's about as close as it's going to get.
So we have Ivy, which would be great to see that thing get full.
Well, Nasworthy looks like it's getting some water.
But Nasworthy is pretty constant level. They keep it constant for the most part. It stays between 80 and 100% all the time.
Oh, I see.
So that's one of the few constant level lakes. A little trivia for you there, folks, in the state of Texas. So unless it's just like we did have a severe drought.
Oh, yeah.
For years ago. So you'll see it go down. But other than that, it's going to stay pretty constant. Okay, getting back, you said some state issues. Let's talk about what's going on in the state. We had Prop 1 and Prop 7. We just got those passed.
Right, and those were tremendously successful. And I want to give a big shout out and thank you to all who voted in support of those propositions.
And what did those accomplish?
So Prop 1 expanded the homestead exemption from $15,000 to $25,000 for single-family property. And then it also constitutionally banned transfer taxes on real estate forever. And I think that is
huge,
tremendously huge. You know, at this point, I think we're one of like six states left in the union that doesn't have a transfer tax on real estate.
And let's explain what a transfer tax really means. Well, it's a big deal.
It's a really big deal. So it's usually, well, okay, so first of all, one thing you need to be cognizant of is government creep. They may start the tax at like 0.5% or 1%, but I mean, once that door is open, we know how they roll, and it's just going to keep increasing session after session.